This is exactly right.
Hello. We want to take a second to tell you about one of our favorite podcasts, Disgraceland. If you like music, pop culture, and true crime, this is the podcast for you.
Through host Jake Brennan's deeply researched storytelling, you'll hear all about the lives and crimes of musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Jay-Z, the Rolling Stones, and so many more.
And now Disgraceland is expanding to include artists, actors, athletes, and other icons from Anthony Bourdain to Andy Warhol.
Full episodes are released every Tuesday. Check out Disgraceland on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen.
Goodbye.
Welcome.
Hi, welcome to My Favorite Murder, the mini-sode.
This is a mini. It's shorter than normal.
So it's only 3 hours instead of the usual 10.
That's right. Brace yourself for not a week's worth of content. We're going to be out of here before you know it.
That's right.
Just let us get out of your hair really quick.
Technically, right now, as we're speaking these words, we're in the podcast loft. But technically, as you're listening to these words, we're in the UK. We're in Europe.
We're in Paris, France.
We fucking are international spies. And yeah. We're gone.
We're using different kinds of plugs. You wouldn't even recognize the plugs that
Our
we're using
hair
right now.
Looks incredible because of these plugs.
If you're awake, we're sleeping. Uh-huh. It's nuts. It's a world away.
Yeah.
And also, we're becoming refined. Mm-hmm. We're having hot cuisine.
I bet these fucking zits on my face have healed up.
I bet they've healed up and been replaced by beauty marks.
I bet you're right. Sparkles.
It's Parisian sparkles. We're not going to France, right?
No.
I just wanted to say this. This is a throwback from the last normal episode we had.
Which was for us yesterday.
Right. We don't know what kind of time-space continuum we're breaking
zones
with you right now. But I talked about, I had done the Lindbergh baby kidnapping / murder.
Right.
And that was suggested to me. And I said it was suggested. I just didn't know the person's name. Yeah. She went ahead and tweeted me real time today. Mm-hmm. Weeks ago to you. Mm-hmm. Her name was Sophia. She's at Ballestros on Twitter. And she replied to let me know, Karen Kilgariff, hey girl, I'm the one who recommended the Lindbergh kidnapping. I cried. And then she attached a picture of her dog. And the dog is wearing a white croc mm-hmm. on its head, like a little bit like the Pope.
Like a helmet. Yeah, or like the guys at in London.
Oh, yeah, like a soldier in front of the palace
mm-hmm.
or like a band leader, like a marching band leader.
Yes, but with a croc.
With a croc, a like chin strap around
the TV show. The shoe or croc.
Yes, not a crocodile.
No.
That would be dangerous
scary
and wrong. Thank you, Sophia, for being there for me uh-huh. both times,
mm-hmm.
Getting no credit, coming back. Now you're getting all the credit.
Like responding in a positive light, not like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't get credit. It's like, here's a fucking hilarious photo.
You know what I would have done if she said, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't get credit?
What?
Mute.
How many people would be muted on Twitter?
Mute. Oh, you can look into it, but I would guess over 35,000 people. I can't. The second I read anything that impacts me in any way, I mute it. I don't give a shit.
Okay.
I don't. I'm not.
I'm impressed.
I'm not there to take. This isn't fucking. This isn't like the suggestion box. I'm not on Twitter so I can hear everybody's fucking thoughts and feelings. I'm there to write some awesome jokes and also the worst jokes possible.
Well,
and then chit chat with my friends.
No one will ever. You'll never get. I mean, just your description of who you are. What's it called?
The bio?
Your bio.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than that on Twitter. And there never will be. Say what it
Thanks.
Is. Karen Kilgariff is your handle or whatever. K. Kilgariff?
It's Karen Kilgariff, yeah.
And then it says like bio when I'm like, I am a co-host. Mine is like, I'm a co-host of My Favorite Murder Podcast and I talk about food on Cooking Channel. Like, email me here. And yours just says,
TV VCR repair.
That's the best.
Yeah.
You don't is that been it from it. The original? Like from the get-go?
It, yes. And I used to have my avatar used to be a picture of Brett Summers Match Game.
That's right.
Smoking, which is my favorite. She was smoking and looking super over it.
Yeah.
But then Mandy took that awesome, highly Photoshopped photo. Our friend Mandy Johnson, who took those photos. Yeah. That is not my picture. And, anyway.
So you cut me out of that picture. And you put yourself
I was like, get her out. I had to Photoshop Georgia out of my frame just so I could stand
out
forward
of my
for
light.
Once. Come on. It's my time.
Hey, speaking of, should I go first?
Please do.
All right. This is called...
I always forget. We don't do chitty-chatty stuff at the top of minisodes.
No, we don't have to and we shouldn't.
But I had to shout out Sophia because she helped me do my homework.
Yeah. This is called... And then we found Opa stole from Nazis.
Ooh, ooh.
So these are your stories, by the way. They're hometown murders and so much more. Sophia,
and Stephen has called these ones specifically from Europe.
Right. And Stephen did a great job. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you. We love when you get emails from the continent.
He looks like a young Albert Einstein today. Stephen, by the time we get back, that something has to be done with that hair.
When you come back from Europe, I'm going to be like in a corner, just like eating the cat food with Elvis and me and Dot.
What's
just like,
happening? Like, are you going full feral?
Yes, I'm going full. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's good. What I want when we get back is either you've taken care of it or you've committed fully.
Oh,
you keep saying whenever you leave, I got to get my hair cut. And it's like,
but it's just it, growing and growing.
Well, now it'll be fun. Like when you come back,
scary.
If it gets any bigger, you're going to have to become a bass player for a band.
Totally. That's a jam band.
A jam band.
That's right.
I'm into it.
Great.
Down to down.
Opa.
Opa. You know, Opa, like grandpa.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
So last week you read... which is last week, a story about someone whose grandfather was in the Netherlands who collaborated with the Nazis.
That's right.
One thing that came up was that it was extra horrible because he was the only guy helping them. That's not exactly true. All Dutch men of age were either supposed to join the Nazi army or be put to work for them.
Oh.
I know this because my opa was put into a camp for refusing to help. Twice.
Whoa.
Turns out he jumped off a train and dressed in women's clothing to escape.
Yes.
And then this person writes, when are they making this Oscar bait movie, right? And then he got caught again. Anyway, he's gotten older and blinder and perhaps a little crazier. Opa is taken to answering the front door with a knife in hand. This week I noticed that he wasn't using his usual kitchen knife, but a large, and then it says in parentheses, I don't know knife terms, knife, with a big swastika on it.
Uh-oh.
Horrified, I asked why he had such a thing. My oma casually said, oh, they threw that at him when he tried to sell them counterfeit wine. Turns out he had been taking industrial alcohol that his father was supposed to be handling, filtering it to make it drinkable, and illegally selling it while he was hiding. The Nazis were starving out the Dutch for refusing to cooperate, so he was basically the only guy in Rotterdam you could buy it from.
Ooh.
When he sold to the Nazis, he'd drink half the bottle and replace it with water first. He got caught and attacked and escaped with his very uncool favorite giant knife.
Wow.
And it says, be like Johannes and SSSFM. And then it says, stay sexy, steal from Nazis. I don't have a name of this person, but thank you. That's great.
That's amazing.
So grandparents, when they go fucking a little bit crazy, are the most fun.
That's true. You know what? Let's keep with that theme.
Okay, great.
Tell us
your fun shit that your grandparents did. When they went a little bit crazy.
Yeah, we want to know about what people used to do back before they stared at their phones all day and binge watched everything on Netflix.
Right.
So used to really be engaged.
And then they'd go a little crazy and admit to it.
Yes.
Like the shit of like, oh, I wasn't going to tell anyone this story, but now I'm a little crazy and I give zero fucks.
Right.
And like,
who cares now? Once you're over 70, I'm sure it's just like... we're going to be all over the map. It's like, if we're like this now...
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Please, Stephen, I beg you to make sure that I stay indoors all the time and no one records me doing anything. I need you. Stephen's whole face just turned red. I need you to commit to this today. So you will make sure.
Karen's
taking a blood oath.
Yeah,
caretaker when she gets old.
I'm making Stephen. Right now, it's fine if you cat sit now. Here's the trade-off. You're going to Karen sit in 30 years.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll have her drawer of cookies that we open just when she's acting up. Karen want a cookie?
It'll be those quattro ones we were talking with Allie about earlier.
Those Italian cookies. I love it.
Just throw it up in the air. It'll be fine. The subject line of this email is, some heroes wear wooden clogs. Parentheses, lighthearted.
I love it.
I love that people are doing the separation of lighthearted.
Wait, Stephen, you're not adding that in, right? No. Yeah, I have a couple.
No, people are living it front and center.
Everybody know. People are like, we got to be the filing system. We've got to make it easy for Stephen to pick our email. Totally. Our email.
He needs to throw a couple lighthearteds in.
That's right. Great job, everybody. Okay. Hi, MFM family. In the 1970s, my grandmother worked half time at the only bank in a very small town in southern Sweden. This is like 20 minutes from where I grew up, and I know the setting very well. Think racist farmers in 70s hair. Jesus. Okay. Sometimes you're hit with the smell of manure, even when you're sitting indoors in the center of town. Perfect. Unfortunately, my grandmother was out the one day something even remotely exciting happened. My grandfather likes to start the story like this, parentheses, grandfather voice. I'm not doing grandfather voice. Mm-hmm. That afternoon, I got a call at work from your grandmother saying that she was alive and well, at which point I started panicking. I thought she had been in a car accident or something. Well, my grandmother then explained to my grandfather was that on her day off, the first armed robbery in Sweden had taken place at the bank she worked at.
What?
A man had come into the bank wielding a gun and demanded a large sum of money from one of the other young 70s girls working there. 70s girls. Mm. She handed him the money. Since that's the number one thing banks tell their employees, always hand over the money. Don't risk your own safety. One of the customers waiting in line wasn't as cooperative, though. Seeing as this was in the deep south of Sweden, I imagine he was a little stupid and or a farmer with no fucks to give.
Oh, no.
He had probably waited in line forever and just wanted to get home to his farm because it was already past milking time and his wife was busy taking care of their kids, so she couldn't milk the damn cows. Oh, wow, he's writing a whole story for that guy. Either way, he proceeded to take off one of his wooden clogs and hit the man over the head.
Oh, my God.
The robber dropped his gun and the money, and I believe he was arrested soon after since someone at the bank knew his mom or something.
That's not good.
I'm kind of fuzzy on the details after the wooden clog bit because I always start laughing and can't hear what my grandparents say. Anyway, stay sexy. Don't get murdered, Edmund.
That's something else.
That's something to look forward to in Sweden.
We got to start wearing wooden clogs.
We did get wooden clogs for Christmas one year when I was little.
Yeah.
Either that or it was an ornament I was trying to put my foot into. Now I'm thinking no one gave us wooden clogs and it was like probably an antique that my mom was like, please stop touching.
Yeah, me. With your feet.
Yeah. And I was like, can I just put my foot into it one
look
more
how
time?
Funny this looks. I can only fit my toe in here. Look, isn't this funny?
Isn't this neat?
Look how funny I am. Please pay attention to me or I'm going to have to become a comedian and a podcaster one day.
Do you want me to light that fucking bed on fire again? Because I'll do it. I will do it. I'm not above it.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made in.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more.
June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
This one's called That One Time I Got Kidnapped.
Oh, great.
Hi, Stephen, Georgia, Karen, and cats.
First, okay.
You start with Steven and then you end with cats.
This is a person who's trying to get our attention.
Yeah, that's true.
In a negative way. But let's see.
It's a negative attention.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Not a hometown murder, since I live in Iceland and murders in general are almost non-existent.
Iceland.
By the way, thanks grade school Karen for giving Iceland some love. Iceland some love.
Hey.
Okay. So when I was little, we lived in a small town on the east coast of the island where there's even less crime, seeing as only like a few hundred people live there. At the time, I had a habit of getting out of bed in the middle of the night to go sleep in my parents' bed. And one night when I was 3, I was about to do just that, but I noticed a dark shape at the foot of my bed. Mm-mm. Note, I may have been 3, but I remember all of this in vivid detail. Mm-hmm. I was a toddler and half asleep, so I remember thinking, oh, it's a new footstool or some silly shit. So I stepped on it on my way out of bed.
Uh-oh. Mm.
But to my surprise, the shape stood up and took me on piggyback and began to carry me out of the house. Again, my confused 3-year-old brain jumped to the conclusion that would freak me out the least, so I assumed it was my mom taking me out on some sort of surprise trip.
Nice.
Children are so stupid. The next thing I remember is my dad out on the lawn yelling at the person carrying me. The person replied saying something like, oh, this is my daughter. I'm picking her up from a sleepover. And then it says, who does this guy think he's kidding? I remember thinking to myself, wait, mom's voice isn't that deep. The next thing I recall is being inside and my dad calling the cops and then being in my parents' bedroom with my mom.
What?
To this day, I don't know who the guy was or what or why he did it. I also don't know if he actually thought I was his daughter or if he was just making a very bad excuse.
He was doing this set number two.
Number two.
Yeah.
My dad didn't like to talk about it, and over the years, I just sort of forgot about it. I tried to look it up a few years ago, and the only thing I found out was that the guy supposedly got 2 years in prison. Wow. Like I said, I don't think about it very often. Sometimes I just remember that this is a thing that happened to me. And I think about how if dad hadn't come out, I could be dead or living in a cabin in the mountains with full-blown Stockholm syndrome.
Wow.
Anyways, love your podcast so much. My girlfriend introduced me to it and I binge listened to every episode during my shifts last summer. We're looking forward to seeing you and awesome ladies in Amsterdam.
Yay.
Stay sexy and don't get kidnapped, Etta.
Etta, Jesus Christ.
You almost got kidnapped.
You were halfway out. So like the dad heard a noise.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. Can you imagine stepping on something on the way out of the bedroom and then it like moves and picks you up and tries to carry you off?
Etta lived through her childhood nightmare came true.
Yeah.
And she still handled it at age 3 well enough to not have a total freak out.
Right. Which maybe it would have helped if she had had a total freak out and started screaming.
Well, but she must have done something because that dad was out there.
Yeah.
Unless he had huge ears.
And you got to wonder, like, did she wake up because there was, like, a presence or something? Like,
yes.
She knew. And do you think that the kidnapper was, like,
around on the carpet?
Why is she coming over to me? What's going on? Like, he had to be kind of surprised, too.
Was he on the way into the room crawling under the bed? I mean, it sounds like that's, she got out of bed and stepped on him.
Yeah.
Like, which means he was crawling under her bed.
Or like hiding.
Yeah. Ugh. Under the fucking bed, though.
Like a nightmare.
Like an exact Pixar child's nightmare.
Ay vey.
Etta, good great job.
See you in Amsterdam. I think, which is like tomorrow night. We've had a great time in this city.
Oh my God. What an incredible bunch of canals you have.
We got so high.
I stole a bike. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
The subject line of this is watch where you're walking.
Okay.
Hi, Karen, Georgia, Stephen, and family.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that works. I live in Scotland now, and it's where the story is set, but I'm going to start off with a fun fact that I grew up in County Tyrone, Northern Ireland, the same as Typhoid Mary.
Oh.
Nice. Bold start. Side note, she's from Cookstown. It's quite grim, and is the place that one of my friend's exes is from, and he is a capital T, capital A, true asshole.
That is my new phrase.
He is a true asshole.
True, a capital T, capital A. Like, what's she gonna spell? True asshole.
And then in all caps, anyway. When I was 13 years old, me and my mom did a 5-day long hike called the West Highland Way, starting in Glasgow and ending in Fort William.
Wow.
My mom is incredibly good at her job as a forester.
Ugh.
She's so enthusiastic about it and loves to talk about it. She was better than all the men in her year.
So cool.
In handling a chainsaw at forestry school.
Fuck yes.
Her trees cut per day was ridiculous.
Wow.
She met my dad there. Oh, there's the movie. That's the fucking rom-com I want to see.
Forestry catches school. The tree.
Yes.
As it's being felled.
Right. And she's under it. She bends down to paint her toenails. Because I was trying to be, you know, guys and girls type stuff.
Sure, sure. When do they carve like their initials in a heart in the tree that they just felled?
They don't carve their initials. They arrest a teen couple carving their initials because they're so pro tree.
You're not allowed to.
And that's more romantic.
Right.
Than initial carving. Anyway.
Sorry, go on.
No. She met my dad there, and I remember she said the most romantic gift she ever got from him was an axe he spray painted gold.
Oh my God. I love it.
A couple of times.
That's so sweet.
When I came home from school, I caught them leaving nude YouTube comments on wait a second.
Wait, what?
Steven. Oh, rude. Sorry, rude. What's happening?
Nude YouTube comments. What does that even entail?
I feel like something's going on with my eyes. Like I can only see three words at a time.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I caught them leaving rude
YouTube comments. Rude.
And I love that you just blame Steven immediately. Steven,
why would you pick this filthy email?
You don't read them. You just make sure your name's first in the intro.
Steven, you are picking only Steven first emails. And now I'm here reading a rude nude forest for YouTube.
Okay, let's get back.
Let's just get serious about comedy.
Nude comments.
Okay. A couple of times when I came home from school, I caught them leaving rude YouTube comments on videos where people were cutting trees down without proper safety gear.
I love that.
Back to our journey.
No, I just want to say that if you don't, you need to find a partner that you can be mean about other people with together.
Yes.
Tell them what they're doing wrong together.
That's right.
Vince and I judge the shit out of fucking everyone constantly, and it's just like what our relationship is made out of.
There's nothing more bonding than hating someone mutually. Like, I have a friend who we spontaneously discovered we hated, vitriolically hated the same person.
Oh, I want to know who.
And we were immediately best friends. Uh-oh. It wasn't even someone we really knew personally.
Yeah.
It was just like this concept person.
Yeah.
But when we both discovered it was just like, oh, now we have to be like
with you and me friend. And murderers.
That's right.
We hate murderers.
I honestly thought you were going to name somebody right. I was like, with you and me and remember?
Steven. Oh, no. Okay.
Before I was born, she used to work in the West Highlands, and she had a running commentary for the whole hiking trip. Meh, 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 I planted that woodland, meh, 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 and that one, and telling me about the kinds of mosses and shit that I didn't care about at 13. I was becoming a butthead teenager. Oh. Sorry, Mom. About halfway through the hike, on our way to Crane Lyark for the night, we were approaching another woodland, and she immediately picked up on the forestry signage. It read that there was felling in progress and to be careful. This, she said, shouldn't be going on at that time of year, but we couldn't hear chainsaws or anything, so we kept walking. My mom wouldn't let it go, saying the sign shouldn't still be up and that she felt like something was wrong. Again, I didn't care because I was a stupid idiot. But then I smelled something that gave me vision straight away of memories of being at my grandparents' house and smelling the exact same thing, going under the bridge and finding a swollen, deep, dead sheep caught up in a wire. I assumed it was just another dead sheep. Said, haha, Mom, it smells like dead sheep, LOL.
Oh my God.
This smell was getting stronger, and my mom had stopped talking, cautiously touched my arm, pointed at a tent in the distance, saying, it looks like it's been there a while, and people can't be living in it as it's been -7 Celsius at night recently.
Oh my God.
I told her to stop worrying. They probably just left it there and went home. As I said this, I tripped up, looked back, and saw it was a walking boot that I had fallen over, and it was pretty fucking full of mossy foot. Oh shit. I wanted to poke at it with a stick, but my mom wouldn't let me. We assumed that as the signage was still up from long ago, that it meant that the harvesting teams found the rest of the body and dealt with it. I hope that's what happened anyway, because we sure didn't tell anyone. Instead, we carried on our merry way and had a pretty nice time.
Wait, what?
I had the owner of the foot. I hope the owner of the foot didn't suffer.
What
happened? Wait a second. Looking forward to seeing you guys perform in Glasgow in May.
Then you need to get up on stage and fucking explain to
us. You have... Okay.
Everything.
Okay. You just walked us off a cliff.
Uh-huh.
Your mom was the most intense forester in all of... Where were we? Northern Ireland?
Sure.
Where were we?
Where, what's your
Glasgow?
Place?
Glasgow.
Ooh.
Yeah. Right? I mean, how was it?
And how then did they it die?
Just like...
How did they die? Who died? Why is there a foot there? What's the tent doing there? I wonder about the tent.
I'm okay. We have to trust the highly professional forester that the sign meant they literally were just there, I think is what she's saying.
Okay. But why does it smell like a rotting corpse still?
Maybe like the people that went in were going in to do their forestry, but then discovered the dead body, took the body and left and didn't know the foot was there.
Okay. And then didn't know to take off the sign.
Because they were freaking out that they found a dead body.
Okay. So who's the dead body and how did he die?
That's a guy named Jerry, and he just was lazy. Here, let me read the end of this. Looking forward to seeing you guys perform in Glasgow this May. I loved your storytelling and hope you're... And how you're so relaxed and talking about mental health stuff that you guys go through. It's helped me and many others. Aww. Very proud to be a murderino. Thank you for reading Stay Sexy and Watch Where You're Walking. Mari. Wow.
That reminds me of like when you eat a tongue sandwich and you're like, it tastes me back. When you trip over a foot and you're like,
who tripped who?
Tripped me. Exactly.
If you kick that foot out of the ground.
Right.
You trip that foot
you
as well.
You tripped a foot. Listen, send us your shit. Send look. Us your grand. You look and listen and send us your grandparents' that weird shit. Just send us stuff.
I mean, all of these stories, any story, yeah. I will say this. Pretty much anything. If you discover something in a forest, yeah. we would like to hear about it.
People keep saying like, oh, I finally have a story to send you. Like, if you're waiting to tell, so you can tell us this one story because we haven't asked for a thing and it's this crazy story, just send it.
Yes.
Sorry, Steven. Now you have to go through so many emails.
Steven's doing charades gestures of, don't worry about it. I love this job.
This is my favorite thing. Is
come on.
Just reading these.
I just want to
tiny
read your goddamn email for the rest of my life.
Tiniest font. Please keep make the font as small as you can. Don't use any punctuation would be great.
And then just like, if you tripped over something and there was a lot of trees nearby, we're opening it up to that.
Opening it. Forest stories. Send yep. them.
Forestry.
My favorite murder at Gmail. Thanks for listening, you guys.
We love you guys.
We do.
Stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Elvis, you want a cookie?